This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne at NPR West.
And I'm Steve Inskeep in Des Moines, Iowa. This state's voters hold the nation's first presidential caucuses 1 month from today. Their choice for president matters, but it might matter less than choices they make in their daily lives. Consider illegal immigration. The government makes the rules, but citizens decide how to follow them. In Marshalltown, Iowa, an American made choices that got him indicted. He's among many residents living among the immigrant employees at a pork processing plant. As we've been watching this plant, truck after truck after truck has backed up to a loading dock and offloaded its cargo, which we can hear. Pigs. 18,000 pigs per day are brought to this plant, and they're processed in this giant facility from which white smoke is rising into the cold Iowa sky. Swift and Company employs more than 2,000 people here. They include Mexican immigrants like Teresa Rodriguez de Avalos.
My job is trim neck bones.
Trimming neck bones, she says. She cuts meat off a pig bone every 6 seconds all day long. Rodriguez is an American citizen now, but many employees were not. She was working last year when immigration agents moved in.
Y empezó muchas personas a correr.
A lot of people started running.
Y pues querían salir para afuera, otros se escondían.
Outside, other people hid.
Y pues otros lloraban.
And other people just cried.
Many undocumented workers were deported or convicted of identity theft. They were using other people's names and social security numbers.
I think people want the laws enforced.
And U.S. Attorney Matt Whitaker says that was especially true given the sheer number of fake IDs.
Immigration did a preliminary analysis of Swift and Marshalltown and found that they had 664 I-9s that they knew were false and therefore had no idea who that person was. About a third of the workforce, we believed, was under a false identification.
Which is a lot, I take it.
Yeah, it shocked my common sense and reason and decided that we needed to do something about it.
The meatpacking company has not been prosecuted, but a federal grand jury indicted an American. He allegedly advised the workers how to evade authorities. Braulio Pereira Gabino was a union vice president. He gave orientation speeches to Spanish-speaking workers. Court papers say an undercover agent recorded a speech, and in it, the union leader reassures workers that employers check their ID numbers, but not their photos. He tells them what to do if stopped by police. Give their real names. Local cops might arrest them for fake IDs, but not on federal immigration charges. Prosecutors say they taped Pereira adding, "You can lie to your boss, but not the police." His indictment surprised his Marshalltown neighbors, including Jeannie De La Cruz.
I've seen his children outside playing, and I've seen his wife outside tending the flowers. I have spoken with different people who have worked at Swift with Braulio, and I don't get the impression that he was the person that they went to, that he was their confidant or anything. I certainly never would have thought that.
In that taped speech, Pereira said he himself came illegally from Argentina. He won his citizenship and lives with his family in a wood frame house. He didn't come to the door when we knocked, and his lawyer stopped returning our calls. If you knock on more doors in Marshalltown, you'd find more people who make choices about the immigrants who earn a living here.
We are putting our money into the different rows.
Some immigrants learn English at the Marshalltown Education and Training Center. They include a woman named Maria, who's practicing her numbers.
Okay, let's count.
One, two, three.
The center administrator, Amy Vibral, treats all students the same.
I don't know their status, and we don't ask. Let me put it this way. We ask a social security number of everybody who enters, and we require it of no one. So it's not a prerequisite to attend college.
By not asking too many questions, the training center avoids a hot political issue. It's whether the government should pay to educate undocumented immigrants. But reality has begun to outrun that debate in the halls of Marshalltown High School.
Hi, guys. Do you have winter coats?
The person giving that motherly advice is Bonnie Lowry, the principal, who was a student in these same halls.
When I graduated in 1973,
It was a sea of white faces. And now we're a very diversified school of color.
And Lowry is certain that some of today's students came here illegally. I wonder if it's difficult sometimes to find the line between what's appropriate conduct and what's inappropriate conduct and where you're supposed to stop.
I know in working with youth, those students who are undocumented, who want to do post-secondary education, find that their hands are tied. And so I guess that's probably where I come the closest to walking that fine line.
Principal Lowry says the children of immigrants did not choose to come here, and her school has begun providing scholarships to good students who need an opportunity, whether they are legal or not. The program directs them to the local community college.
And we pay for half of their tuition.
This is dancing close to that fine line because
exactly.
There was a law passed that made it much more difficult for states to extend aid to
illegal and this immigrants. Isn't state aid. It is private. Our local businesses have created a pot of money that is right now gathering interest.
She says those businesses want to embrace the changing population, even as the debate in Washington drags on. Some Marshalltown residents have faced even more awkward decisions, like a nun at a local Catholic church. Last Friday night, the congregation said the Lord's Prayer in Spanish. They were led by a priest who apologized for being a little late, saying, "I had so many confessions to hear." Those praying included Sister Christine Fegan, who makes it her business to help immigrants. She helped families when their fathers or mothers were arrested in last year's big immigration raid.
I don't look at people as documented or undocumented. I look at them as people who are here to become a part of our society, part of our people.
When asked if she has ever skirted close to the law, Sister Christine thought a moment about just how much she wanted to say.
Well, it was a case of someone who was afraid that she was going to be found out by immigration. And she had nowhere to go. She couldn't go home because immigration had already been there looking for her. And she had nowhere to go, literally nowhere to go. And so we found her someplace to be for a little while. And eventually, through a lawyer, she turned herself in. But the next time that someone comes, I don't know if I would be as, I wouldn't feel as free to say, come to my house and stay. I don't want to end up in jail either for helping somebody. And yet, on the other hand, I feel like I have to help them.
Sister Christine introduced us to some local immigrants, including that cutter at the meatpacking plant. Teresa Rodriguez de Avalos is the one who cuts meat from a pig's neck bone every 6 seconds. She's been in the U.S. long enough to face the same question as other Americans.
Now that you are a citizen, what do you think your responsibility or your duty is if you know someone who is not here legally?
Pues yo creo que lo que debemos hacer es pues dar el voto a las personas que creemos que nos van a poder ayudar.
I think that what we should do is vote for the people that we think are going to be able to help us.
When she says, "I'd vote for people who would help us," Teresa Rodriguez still speaks as though she were among those seeking a welcome to America, even though she, at least, has made it. We are reporting from Iowa this week, and at NPR.org you can find out what else Marshalltown is thinking as the Iowa caucuses approach.
And tomorrow, NPR and Iowa Public Radio host a Democratic presidential debate live from Des Moines, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time.